supporting Radio Catskill. Local news, culture, conversations, and NPR.
Support comes from Tavern on Main, a neighborhood bar and grill on Main Street in Jeffersonville, featuring local American fare, Saturday and Sunday brunch, and Thursday trivia nights. Menu and hours online at tavernonmainny.com.
Next time on the Retro Cocktail Hour, we'll visit Tiki Gardens on Florida's West Coast, also the exotic sounds of the Hilo High Flyers and Arthur Lyman. I'm Daryl Brogdon. Join me where the music's always shaken, not stirred. The Retro Cocktail Hour. Wednesday night at 7, here on Radio Catskill.
When you find that someone, just one person who really sees you, it can be the thrill of a lifetime. I'm looking at you, Thelma and Louise. I'm Meg Wolitzer, and on the next Selected Shorts, inseparable duos, and what happens if and when they do get separated. Don't miss it.
Sunday night at 7 on Radio Catskill.
WJFF, Jeffersonville. From river to river, mountain to mountain, we are Radio Catskill.
Good morning. Welcome to Catskill Character. I'm your host, Donna Fellenberg. You know, ever since I spoke to Jean Kogut a few months ago, I've been wanting to hear more about Janice Noble and her beautiful homeland of St. Kitts and Nevis. So I gave her a call, and here we are about to get a St. Kitts and Nevis tutorial from the lady herself, Janice Noble, who I am so happy to welcome to the show today. If you have a hankering to hear about paradise, great cooking, and other artistic endeavors, this is the conversation for you. Here we go. Janice, welcome to Catskill Character.
Thanks for having me. So excited to be here.
I'm happy to have you on today, Janice, not only to learn more about you, but also, of course, the Federation of St. Kitts and Nevis. Maybe you could start with a little history and take it from there.
St. Kitts and Nevis. We're two little islands in the Eastern Caribbean. So we're part of the Leeward Islands. Beautiful, mountainous, green, lush, tiny islands in the Eastern Caribbean. We are British islands. We are independent, but we're still under British rule. So we have a governor general and a prime minister, and Nevis has a premier that is under the prime minister. So they govern the separate islands. You know, it's paradise, as you said. It's just a beautiful place. I encourage anybody to visit when they can. It is absolutely gorgeous.
Where exactly is it?
It's located, as I said, in the Eastern Caribbean. So if you're familiar with any of the islands, it would be closer to Antigua or St. Martin.
Okay.
And Monstrat. We're kind of all within about 20 minutes by plane from each other.
And speaking of planes, how long does it take to get there from here?
It's a four and a half hour flight direct.
Oh, you know, it's so funny. When I was looking it up on the internet, and I saw anywhere from 4 hours to 15 hours. I said, well,
yes.
I can't believe 15 hours unless you're making a huge amount of stops. So 4 hours. Okay.
Yep.
So unlike a lot of friends, you told me this earlier, whose goal was to move to the U.S., you were of a different mind, right?
No, I never envisioned myself living anywhere else but St. Kitts. It's, I mean, where else can you live apart from the Caribbean where you can go to the beach at any given time? I mean, you can go morning, noon, and night if you want to. Surrounded by your friends and family you've known your whole life. So I always valued being an island girl. I loved where I was from. And just never thought I would leave.
What was the name of the town you lived in?
So I lived in Bastyr. my area within Bastyr, which is our capital. It was called, it's still called Ponds Extension. It's within our town. I also lived in an area called New Road. That's where my grandfather's house was. So I kind of grew up in both places. One is more city, one is more, you would call it like suburban areas. So I kind of had a good view of the whole island, really.
You know, with all the hurricanes that we've had this year, I was wondering about the weather on St. Kitts and if there's typically like a hurricane season there.
Yes. So hurricane season is from June to November, but we are very lucky in how we are situated within the Caribbean. A lot of the hurricanes kind of bypass us and go to other bigger islands. I remember when I was like in elementary school, there was a Hurricane George that was the biggest hurricane that we had had in, I mean, forever. I think the one before that was Hurricane Hugo in like 1989. That one caused significant damage within the island, but nothing that we couldn't come back from. But apart from that, most of the hurricanes just kind of skate by us. So we're kind of lucky where we're situated.
Typically in St. Kitts, do the buildings of, the apartment buildings, the houses, the office buildings, whatever, do they take into consideration the hurricanes? Do they have certain restrictions, building codes and what have you?
Yeah, our building codes are pretty strict. A lot of our homes are made of concrete and steel. So it's rebar and concrete and what do you call those, like cinder blocks? That's how our homes are built. Actually, my mom's house was built completely of concrete, cinder blocks. Even its roof is concrete. So they're built in to really withstand any force.
Wow. They weren't taking any chances.
No. And even homes that are built with wood, they're built in such a way that their roofs have a high pitch. So if any air was to get in from a hurricane, it kind of circulates within that pitch and it doesn't blow the roof off. Mm. They're really particular about how it's built.
Yeah. It sounds like we could take a good lesson from the building down there here.
I think we might have to. It's the direction we're going in. Yeah. It keeps changing.
Crazy. What about the topography of the island and the agriculture?
St. Kitts is very mountainous, both St. Kitts and Nevis. There's a lot of hills and valleys and mountains. We are a volcanic island. So you can actually take a hike and go down into the volcano's crater. It's a beautiful, you can't imagine what it looks like from being that high up. I don't remember how high up it is, but it's you can see other islands from the peak of it. We have a rainforest throughout the island. So within the agriculture of it, we have a lot of fruits and vegetables that are grown locally. Sugar was our main industry. I think they stopped doing sugar a few years before I left St. Kitts. So I would say anywhere from 2004 up until 2005-ish is when they switched from sugar industry to tourism. But before that, there were sugarcane fields that covered, probably a good half of the island. No matter where you went, all you saw was sugarcane fields. There's a lot of mango trees. I grew up where my grandfather was a green thumb. And everything that he put into the ground, he grew. So I grew up eating all sorts of vegetables and fruits and things that he just thought of that he would just try and he would grow and it would just, we ate well.
Do you still have family there?
I do. Mostly on my mom's side. I have a lot of cousins and aunts and uncles that live there still.
Well, speaking of your mom, in a little bit, we're going to talk about the food that you masterfully cook here in the Catskills. But first we need to talk about the cooking your mother did when you were growing up.
Yeah, my mother was an amazing, still is an amazing cook. And she not only could cook, she was also a very good baker. And it's really hard to do both. Usually it's one or the other. You can bake well or you can cook well. She mastered cooking and baking. So she made anything from local dishes to Italian dishes. We kind of ate it all because she was an adventurous cook.
You stood there and watched her cook a lot of the time.
Oh, yeah. I was stuck like glue to her in the kitchen. A lot of what I know is from watching her and my older sister, watching them both do their thing in the kitchen.
Oh, that's wonderful. So when and why did you finally leave St. Kitts?
So my family all migrated piece by piece. My dad left when I was probably around 5 or a little younger than that. Then my mom left in about 2000. And then my sister left a year before I did. I left in 2007. So slowly but surely, my immediate family all moved to the U.S. Everybody moved to New York, actually. So that's how I ended up here.
I see. So coming to New York from such a tranquil place must have been kind of overwhelming.
It was. 3 months into it, I was ready to go home. I made the decision in my head that this place is not for me. It's a little too complicated. I don't know any of the people. When you grow up in a small place where everybody knows everybody, and then you come to a place that's big and vast, and you hardly even know your neighbor, it was quite the transition for me. So I was really not adjusting well at first. It took some time, and I got there.
Where were you when you landed in New York? I mean, which borough were you in?
I moved to Staten Island. That's where my mom was.
Okay. So when was it that you started to think, okay, I think I'm going to be all right here?
I would say that part of my transition was getting my first job in New York City and being able to get out of Staten Island and see more of New York was a big adjustment because, you know, learning the subway system and feeling a little bit more confident with that. And I always say, like, New Yorkers are so helpful. You know, I feel like New Yorkers get a bad vibe, but actually it's one of the friendliest places that you can be because everyone's out to help you. So I would say that helped with my adjustment a lot. And obviously, meeting my husband was another big thing for me that was, you know, that made me feel like, okay, I can live here.
Yeah. But somewhere in there, you decided to go to cosmetology school. What was it that drew you to hairdressing and then in the end made you leave?
I always liked doing my hair. It was one of those things I took pride in. I loved that I had the ability to make my hair look a certain way, that I didn't have to necessarily go to a hairdresser to get to achieve what I wanted to achieve. So it was kind of a big draw for me. And I wanted to be a part of like the beauty world. I wanted to do hair and makeup for magazines. Like that was kind of a dream of mine. So I decided to go to cosmetology school. Somewhere within that world of cosmetology school, I kind of lost the interest because I realized that I was more wanting to do what I wanted to do and not necessarily what other people wanted me to do.
Uh-oh. So did you actually get your license or did you just stop while you were still in school?
Well, I got my certificate. I finished. But I never actually went on to get licensed. I always say, I think I went to cosmetology school just to do my own hair, just to know, just to know the proper way to do my own hair.
Well, your hair does rock, let me say. You know, I don't know if I told you, I was a hairdresser for about 9 years and wow. I loved it. I loved it too. But you know what made me leave?
What?
Standing on my feet 10 hours a day.
Oh my gosh.
I was actually older when I did this. I mean, because I had gone to college first and I decided I didn't want to teach. And then one of my friends who was a hairdresser said, you should go to hairdressing school. So I went when I was like in my late 20s. So when I'm working, I realize, geez, you know, when I'm in my 40s, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this, stand here all day. And of course, you had to wear high heels and you know, be all dressed to the nines. So
it's taxing. It's taxing on your body, even just blow drying here. And you think about your arms being in the air constantly blow drying. I mean, it's kind of a workout at the same time, but yeah, it can be
taxing. It's a workout. Well, on that note, I think we'll take a break. We'll be right back. Okay, Janice?
Okay.
You've been listening to Catskill Character with today's guest, Narrowsburg, New York resident Janice Noble. I'm Donna Fellenberg. This is Radio Catskill, and we'll be right back.
Traditional music magazines have been disappearing fast, but one that's bucking the trend is Songlines, the magazine for international roots music. On the next Waggaload of Monkeys with me, Graham Rice, here on Radio Catskill, we take a look at Songlines magazine and the music it champions. So join me, please, on Sunday afternoon at 3.
Next time on City Arts and Lectures, Nate DeMayo, host of the podcast The Memory Palace. Then a conversation with Kevin Fagan, a journalist who spent decades covering homelessness. His new book, The Lost and the Found, tells the story of people living on the streets of San Francisco and of Fagan's own time experiencing homelessness. That's next time on City Arts and Lectures on this public radio station.
City Arts and Lectures, Sunday afternoon at 4 on Radio Catskill.
Welcome back to Catskill Character. I'm your host, Donna Fellenberg. And if you've just joined us, I've been speaking today with Janice Noble, who gave us the lowdown about the beautiful island of St. Kitts, where she grew up. Janice left the island in 2007 when most of her family relocated to the U.S. It took some time for her to adjust to the hustle and bustle of New York City, but then when she met her husband, Nick, in 2009, it began to feel like home. In the second half of the show, we're going to talk about Janice's catering company, The Noble Pot, her involvement in Tustin Social, her company, Noble Arts, and her goals for the future. So let's get to it. Janice, before we dive into the deliciousness of the Noble Pot, I'd love for you to tell the listener about Tustin Social and your involvement in it.
Tustin Social is a nonprofit organization that I got involved with this year. And we are basically trying to fill in the gaps that exist within our social civic infrastructure. My involvement at this stage is to help to bring awareness to that in-between age group. We focused on the youth and the seniors to begin with. So we have youth programming, we have senior programming, and now we're going to focus on that in-between age group to bring people out of isolation, to help people feel a part of a community. Some people are stuck within their homes and they don't get out to socialize or
to be a part of things.
To be a part of something. Yes, exactly. You know, yeah. They might feel isolated because there's a lot of people that would be considered out of towners that live here now that weren't a part of the original locals that are now locals. And we want everybody to feel included.
Oh, that's nice. I'm familiar with it because I see things on Facebook, but also my husband participated in a SAGE session, which I think is a wonderful thing. That's for the older people, right? You
yes.
bring in artists and writers like Bill and they
yep.
talk about whatever. And yeah, it's fantastic.
Yes, you know, I was actually there for that one.
Oh, great. Good. You know, it's so important in these turbulent times that we live in to take care of our communities from the
Absolutely.
Ground up, right?
Community is even more important today.
Yeah.
I feel, because
Me
we
too.
Need, we all need to unify.
Absolutely. So now let's take a minute to talk about Noble Arts. What can you tell the listener about Noble Arts?
So started Noble Arts in 2017. And Noble Arts was born out of my need to do something to de-stress. I started painting initially on canvas. Then I had a friend that's birthday was coming up. And I was like, oh, you know, I see all these painted glasses everywhere. And let me try it. And like my first few were terrible. I have to say they were not great. But, you know, I'm the kind of person that I'm determined to achieve something. I'm going to keep at it. So I kept doing it. And then eventually a friend of mine said, you know, these are really good. You might be able to sell these. And one thing I love about this community is that there's so much talent that exists here within Sullivan County. So there's a lot of craft fairs. There's all these things, opportunities for you to get your things out there. So I decided to start marketing myself and selling my product. And it kind of took off.
And I think you told me your slogan is providing beauty through art.
Yes, providing beauty through art. Because when I look at them, I think they're so beautiful. And I imagine that everybody wants to own something beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to say, I'm a proud owner of two of your beautiful painted wine glasses. And before I move on, I want to say about that is that, yeah, there's something about them. When you look at them, it's sort of a calming effect. You know,
it's, oh, I love that.
Yeah, it makes you feel kind of calm. But I've also had the very good fortune to taste your cooking. So let's dive into the Noble Pot.
Noble Pot. So again, Noble Pot was more of a recent business idea of mine. I'm always hosting some friends at my home. And again, I was told, you know, I think you could sell your food.
Mm-hmm.
Like, your food's so good. And I always knew that I could cook well. You know, my husband will tell you he loves every single thing that I've ever made him.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to try it because, again, I'm all about trying something new and different and kind of pushing myself to do something outside of the norm. So I decided to come up with the Noble Pot, which the name was something that I had in the back of my head for years after Noble Arts. I said, ooh, Noble Pot would be a really good name for a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to go with it. Yeah, I've been doing it for a few years now. And it's been good. It's been good. I get really good feedback.
Tell us about some of your signature dishes.
So I do try to make a lot of West Indian style dishes. So curries and meats. So I'll do jerk chicken or I'll do barbecued rib. A lot of the meats are what I'm known for. But of course, like rices, and I do what we call a macaroni pie, which is just like a West Indian baked mac and cheese. But instead of just cheese and milk, there's peppers and onions and garlic and things, and it's just delicious.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. But so, like my mom, I tried to do it all.
Right. So you cater weddings and parties and special events and the like. You provide the food and then the customer makes the arrangements for everything else, right?
Yes, yes. So as for a catering business, it's more of a, yes, I provide the food and you take care of the rest.
You are definitely someone who is brimming with ideas. What do you see yourself doing, say, in 5 years?
I mean, possibilities are endless. But within 5 years, I'd love to be able to at least have a food truck. I'd like to be able to provide my food to anyone instead of it being just a, oh, this is what I need for this event. Instead, I'd like it to be just a whoever, wherever, drop in and can enjoy my food. I'd actually like both. I'd like one that's stationary and one that I can take to festivals or to different events all around the county.
That sounds really good. I think I told you about one of my favorite movies of all time, and it's called Chef.
Yep.
And it's The director is John Favreau, and he's also the star. And it's about how he was this high-end chef, you know, and he ran into trouble with his boss, Dustin Hoffman. Uh-huh. And he ends up doing a food truck, and he drives all over. It is such an endearing movie. But when I saw that movie, I was thinking, all I could think about afterwards was food trucks.
Yeah. Food trucks are, they're something special. I don't know who came up with the idea of it, but I feel like it's less of a commitment of having a restaurant where it's a sit down and you have to do this and do that. But yeah, it gives you a little bit more freedom to move around, freedom to do things that you want to do without having to hire a bunch of staff or, you know, have a eat-in place. It's just, it makes life a little bit easier, I think.
And don't you think it's like perfect for up here? I mean,
oh, absolutely.
Don't have a lot of restaurants, first of all.
Yeah.
And, you know, people live so spread out and it's sometimes hard to get to a restaurant. So you could go into all different areas where.
Totally.
Right?
Yep. And introduce food that doesn't exist here.
Exactly. Okay, I'm rooting for this food truck, Janice.
Thanks. Fingers crossed. We'll make it happen.
Well, I have one more request before we go. Would you please share with the listener what your maiden name was?
My maiden name was Del Sol.
Del Sol. I mean, come on. That is such a beautiful name and so apropos for you because, Janice, you do bring the light for sure.
Thanks. Yep, Janice of the Sun. That's what I used to always say.
And the whole name, Janice del Sol Noble. Come on. Mm-hmm. You can't make this up.
I know. How lucky am I, right?
Exactly. Janice, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been absolutely delightful.
Thank you for having me. This was great.
I'm still going to be waiting for that food truck. So,
okay, fingers crossed. It's going to happen.
Yes,
we're gonna make it
I'm going to support you in that.
Thank you.
This has been Catskill Character with today's guest, artist, caterer, and community mover and shaker from Narrowsburg, New York, Janice Noble. Where can the listener reach you?
You can reach me via Instagram. For my arts page, it's noblearts.gn. And for my food business, it's The Noble Pot.
Janice can be reached on Instagram. For her arts, it's noblearts.gn. And for her food, it's The Noble Pot. Catskill Character is on every Saturday at 10:30, except the last Saturday of the month, when Greg Triggs brings us Travels with Triggs. Join us then for more fascinating characters of the Catskills and beyond. This is Radio Catskill. I'm Donna Fellenberg, and I thank you so much for listening.
This is Radio Catskill. A winter weather advisory is now in effect for most of our listening area, and it goes till 1 tomorrow afternoon. In Ulster County, advisory starts at 1 this afternoon and goes till tomorrow evening. Mixed precipitation expected, 2 to 5 inches of snow, and a quarter of an inch of ice or more is possible. And there's a high wind watch from tomorrow afternoon to Monday afternoon, with gusts up to 60 miles per hour and power outages possible, especially in higher elevations. This is Radio Catskill.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from the Narrowsburg Union and Catskills Curated, presenting products of regional artists, artisans, makers, and craftsmen. Gift wrapping and shipping available on site. NarrowsburgUnion.com. The Cooperage Project in Honesdale, dedicated to building community through performance, learning, markets, and good times. TheCooperageProject.org. And from listeners like you who donate at WJFFRadio.org.
On last week's Wait, Wait, Tom Papa praised the accomplishments of the new administration.
Grocery prices have gone up already, but don't worry. Despite the high price of eggs, Trump has promised all Americans will still be able to die of bird flu.
I'm Peter Sagal. This week, we're checking out grocery prices in Richmond, Virginia, with special guests Guar, not the gum, the band. Join us for the news quiz that's always metal from NPR.
Sunday morning at 10 on Radio Catskill.